It's like no one's ever worked on TV here before.
What I want, you've got, and it might be hard to handle. But like a flame that burns a candle, the candle feeds the flame. Yeah, what I got for...
All right, welcome to MFL, to our first edition of the Hurry Up. We're kind of winging things here. I'm your host, Casper, and hope you enjoy our maiden voyage here. We have with us Gravity, Moon, Baron, Broth, Knowles, and Masler. What's up, guys?
What's going on?
I'm ugly.
Doing all right.
It's our first shot of a podcast, so kind of hang with us. Well, we'll get things started by talking about some of the new content we have in TMFL. What do you guys kind of like that you're seeing so far?
Well, I like some content that we had last season, not to flate one of my fellow podcasters, but I've always liked Noel's Game of the Week. I mean, some of the games just don't stand out, but Noel's usually does a pretty good job of picking the ones that are really showcasing the best talent or the key matchups of the week. But the content explosion has been really, really impressive in TMFL over the past couple of days.
I am liking the covering the spread, the whole thing Hal's doing. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I would like that if I was a gambling man and knew how that worked. But I'm not, so I find it hard to follow. But I really like Cole's new new segment, the over-under. I feel like it takes, you know, a lot of creativity to come up with interesting storylines from week to week, and I've enjoyed seeing what he's been able to come up with, and it's been pretty cool to read.
You know, Gravity, you could just go all in every week in Hal's deal until you're just eliminated.
He still would not be worse than Hova.
Yeah, that was pretty terrible.
I came out ahead week one, so, yeah.
Oh, I saw Banthrax was willing to bet $1 last week, though, so he's up to 101.
Attaboy.
Gotta commend Dan for...
You can't lose what you don't put in the middle.
Last I checked, I'm in first, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah, 165. Look at that.
Humble the only thing you'll be in first on the entire season.
I kind of just guessed, so I'm pretty proud of myself.
Another thing we have is the 5 bold predictions from Fuzzy. And a couple divisions are stepping up and kind of doing their own little previews, I should say. Phil and Fuzzy have each done one. What do you guys think of those, Moon? What do you think? Anyone?
Cut. Mooney, are you there?
Jesus.
You know what I just did? I decided to take myself off mute.
Attaboy, Mooney.
All right,
were you talking to yourself? I bet you were.
Oh, I was breaking it down deep, too.
Top-tier analysis right there. All right.
You know, Casper, I was saying that no one heard. But listen, I mean, this is the first time I've used Skype in my entire life. So give me a little credit here. AFC East, I really like Phil's piece. I thought it was really good. And I got to agree. They might be the best division I've seen in any league on TSO.
Okay, Moon, I got to ask you why you say that. Bucks beat Somoff and Hova beat Pinch. Is the NFC East as strong as it used to be?
We're definitely not playing well, tell you that. We really got to turn it around. I think there's more parity. Maybe there's more parity because of the sliders. I mean, Law Dog lost.
Yeah,
I don't think you can judge a division based off of its based off of 1 week. I mean, if Pinch and Saw both go 8-8, I mean that'll tell you what you need to know. But
well, did Saw win a division game last year? I know he was struggling there.
He was weak. A lot of them were Sims too.
He was weak. He said,
"I beat him." Just yeah.
Well, he was weak because of the Sims, not because he was actually playing. He took a bunch of Sims last year.
Yeah, quite a few people actually had to do that.
Yeah, I agree, though, that I think the AFC East is, you know, on paper probably one of the best divisions. You know, definitely have one of the most, you know, illustrious... illustrious group of members, you know, three of them won Super Bowls, and you know, I'm sure when it's all said and done, they'll have some more under their belt. But I think Perry can come in there and he could add, you know, a nice dimension.
He's got to make it a season.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes, you know, 8-8 or 9-7 and steals away a couple of in-division games and, you know, might make some noise.
Here's the thing you have to know about the AFC East is they've got a guy who laminates his play call sheet, and we don't know if he's the third best guy in that division or not. That tells you all you need to know about that.
I've also heard he covers his mouth. Well, even though there's no one seeing him announce the plays, but he does it anyway.
As much as we just talked about the AFC East, it is surprising no one mentioned Josh, but I think everyone here knows what we're expecting out of him. If it's not this year, it'll be very soon when he's competing.
If the man can ever get a full roster, which I don't think he's allowed to have at this point based on what's happened to him.
Well, the strategy of just saying, screw what Fuzzy said, sign his guys anyway, has been really effective in slowing his team down, I think.
All right.
So I'd like to see what's going on with the NFC North, though, because we get Dakota's in there now, and then Knight is a new addition as well. But Hova and I are still in there, and I mean, we were there the entire last cycle, and Hova kicked my ass every single year. But with that being said, I plan on revenge. I just don't know when it'll take place. It's slow goings right now. But I think that division could be really interesting. I think all four teams in it are capable enough of making a run.
Real quick,
all you need to know about the Lions is Hova picked up Roddy White,
who will be alive for like 2-3 more years. I'm pretty sure he's 60 years old right now.
You should have seen when he did his first game. Looking at the stats.
Speaking of pickups, there were some very, very interesting off-season moves for personnel.
Jimmy Graham, anyone?
Never heard of
him. I mean, I think my thoughts on that whole situation are well known, so I'm not going to rehash them here. The only point I'll make is that with that trade, if you're making that trade, you've got to be really, really confident that you're going to hit on those draft picks. And to go and get a 61 overall free safety does not inspire a lot of confidence that you're going to be able to hit with those draft picks. And so that's all I'm going to say about that.
But the best one is joke. Dandy.
On the bright side, letting NT draft at 61 overall makes my move of picking someone before Mash Johnson a little, just slightly less terrible and a little overshadowed. But I'm sure
it doesn't.
Probably disagree.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, I'm glad I talked you out of that, you know.
Yeah, did not.
Well, it goes to Perry, who obviously will need to be stout along the defensive line if he's going to. So, I mean, I guess for the health of the league, you know, you could frame it as that, Casper. You did
I'm
it on
just
purpose.
Trying to keep things even right now.
Yeah, that a boy. Way to sacrifice for the betterment of the league.
I think what a lot of people are looking past with that Jimmy Graham trade is just how good it actually makes the Jets now. I mean, even without Jimmy Graham, you know, Law Dog was able to make it really far. And then you take into account all the XP that he just got. Geno Smith is easily a top five quarterback in the league after 1 year, just because of all that XP and how good Law was able to perform with him the first year. I mean, you look at his stats, he has over 90 accuracy and I think two of the three attributes. So in addition to being extremely fast, so that team is really, really dangerous, and adding Jimmy Graham is just kind of overkill in my opinion.
Always been a stout defense with the Jets, too, so, I mean, you didn't really have to plug anything in there. On top, when we're on the topic of these off-season moves, there were kind of some repercussions, I guess, some rule adjustments. Do you guys think those were needed, given what happened? I'll start with Masler. What do you think?
I think some of the rules are necessary. You know, some of them have to be done because we can't have people taking sims left and right like they were. You know, the reason the strike policy was brought up was because of we took the dugout, for example. People get their shit done, and there's a lot more to do in the dugout than there is in Madden. So take that how you will. The other rules, I gotta admit, I did not read them all yet.
In regards to the other rules with the off-season trades and whatnot, and, you know, like the maximum amount of players, I think the rules that were already in place initially were actually really good because, you look at some of the players that were traded in the off-season with J.J. Watt and Jimmy Graham. Both those guys, I don't know exactly, but I'm sure they're pretty popular players. And, you know, when you trade away a player like that, it's going to, you know, affect your team, and your fan base might get pissed off and try to run you out of town or something. I don't exactly know how it works. I don't think anybody does. We're going to have to find out, you know, in the coming years what the ramifications of trading away a really, really popular player are going to be.
Moon, I know you kind of had some thoughts on those trade rules and everything. What do you got for that?
Well, I mean, I was lobbying for him, to be honest with you. I thought the Watt trade, that was okay, but the NT's trade I just thought was over the top. And so we tried the trade committee before, and a lot of people didn't agree with the way some of the trades went down, so it was disbanded, and we went with the system that we had in place prior to the new rule. And a lot of people thought the trade with the draft picks was a little insane. So we're trying some. We'll see what happens.
Well, when you say the trade for Graham was not right, do you think he got him too cheap, or do you think he gave up an unrealistic amount, or what? What do you think?
I think it was unrealistic amount of draft picks. Like, I understand in the game, draft picks might not be as valuable as in the real NFL, but we try to strive to be sim. So, I mean, it was unrealistic. And the other unrealistic thing is the only reason that trade went down is because Lana wasn't going to make the draft, period. If he was going to make the draft, I doubt that trade would have even happened.
Yeah, he said that was a big move. And do you guys buy the whole rebuilding deal with moving Graham? I mean, a tight end, that safety blanket, that's exactly what you want when you have a new quarterback, if you're talking from a sim standpoint.
With Breeze retiring, he definitely needs a rebuild at the quarterback position.
Agreed.
But, you know, the way I was kind of looking at that trade is I compared it to the real-life RG3 trade. I mean, look what Washington gave up to get that pick. I know it was pick for pick, but look at what, you know, they gave up a lot just to get one player. And for them, it worked out. And we're still yet to see if that's going to work out for NT.
Right, but at the same time, you can make the argument that, all right, you're going to be going for a quarterback, and we all know that the top quarterback in the draft generally goes in the top five picks. So what's the point of getting, you know, 5 fourth-rounders in that trade? I mean, if all you need is a quarterback to rebuild. So, I mean, you can look at it from that angle that, you know, okay, you got traded all these picks in order to rebuild, but you're only really one or two positions away from being back to where you were. So,
Baron, you want to give your 2 cents, and then we'll kind of get this moving along?
I just think that you're trading with Law Dog. None of those picks are ever going to be above top 20 unless he's, like, physically moving to another town in real life.
I don't know why I asked for yours. Everyone obviously already knew it, as you mentioned. But
yeah,
I think we're about halfway through here. We're going to take a break here and be back soon. Kick things off in the second half by going over the draft real quick, talk about some winners and losers. There were some solid drafts. Some guys missed pretty bad, which we touched on earlier. Some of your guys' names might get brought again, but you probably deserve it for what you pulled off. So we'll start with the winners, and Knowles, why don't you kick it off?
I'll take the Rams as a big winner. They got Caruthers. From my screen, I'm looking at it as an 82 overall linebacker, and then he picked up a right guard, 81 overall in Walton, and then took arguably the best free safety in the draft in Neuterman, because I like that name. Then I'll take I'll take the Titans also with a pretty good draft. They went a little away from they took a center with their first pick. What was that, seventh, Ross?
Yeah, you can compliment me all you want. It's all right. You don't have to hold your words.
took a seventh prize pick. I think he will be a dominant force for Locker and Company. Then I traded up into his spot and gave him an extra third rounder. He took a bat that dropped out of the first round projection. And then probably Darius Griggs, awareness and coverage for every down player. That's who I have as my winners.
All right. For my winners, I think the Rams have to be in any discussion about this. I mean, you just go down that list of just, I mean, you know, they have a middle linebacker who is just going to be ridiculous, who's going to be starting next to James Laurinaitis. I mean, the 90 speed is what gets me. I mean, it's not like his worst area is 77 block shed, and block shed is easily one of the most easily improved areas for a middle linebacker. And then he gets a 79 overall safety, a very good right guard. I mean, those three players alone will give you a solid draft. Somebody else who I think had a really good draft was Dan. He got a lot of talent along the defensive line, and he was already really stacked along the defensive line to begin with Geno Atkins, which will just make those, you know, players better. So I think those two are my solid winners, just because of especially the defensive talent they were able to get.
One thing about Dan, just think how much better that draft, on top of what he had, would have been if he would have got that trade to go through with Perry, which I heard they pretty much agreed to, and Dan would have got Mass Johnson, who we all know now is about 90 overall, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Yeah, that's unfortunate for Dan, but I think it's a testament that he was able to get that draft regardless.
And a testament to me being an idiot.
Well, yeah. Anyway.
Mooney?
You know what? So I'm going to agree with the first two, with the Rams. I'm not going to really touch on it very much because they both did, but the Rams did an awesome draft. I'm going to go with another solid draft. Hova had a good draft, and this is why. I think he went in with a purpose. He wanted to improve his offensive line. In particular, he wanted to draft two players that were really good run blockers. I think he's going to try to run the ball more this year. It's probably because of all the shit everyone gives him for passing, so he's going to try to run it more. But seriously, in the first round, he drafted a left tackle, Frank Adinshina, 89 run block. And in the second round, right guard, Rashard Smoot, with a 92 run block and an 84 impact block. So I think he had a pretty good draft.
You know, Hova was really confident all draft, I could tell, too. He knew he was going to get the lineman he wanted. He knew who he was getting was really good, too. And commend him. Did he even take a wide receiver? I don't know.
He did not. He picked up a wide receiver with a trade. He got Roddy White.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you know that's how you know Hova was locked in, is that he wasn't drafting wide receivers every round.
So you guys know Roddy White in his first game, 6 receptions, 132 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah, when you've got Calvin Johnson on the other side, it makes it difficult to
he's going to be tough.
It is. Masler, what do you got for your winner from draft day?
I am going to go with Gravity. I like the defensive end he got. I like the cornerback he got. I was looking at that cornerback for a long time, but I knew I would never get him, just judging by how successful I was being. And, you know, he actually fell farther than I really thought he would. You know, the rest of his draft, I'm not, you know, I didn't pay 100% attention, but I do know that I was really, you know, and then impressed with the first round. I saw in the third round he got Lou Duff. That I didn't scout any wide receivers, but a lot of people said that was a pretty decent pick. I'm not sure how he played, if he plays at all. My other winner is going to be New England. I got to go with Mass Johnson, just because dude's a 90 overall or higher as a freaking rookie. He's going to make an immediate impact, and just, you know, I haven't played Perry in years, so I'm not sure how he's doing right now. But yeah. Mash Johnson just immediately makes that defense scary.
Yeah, it's a really, really poor GM who passes on Mash Johnson.
As for my losers, I'm going to say...
Before you go loser, Masler, we're going to come back in reverse order and hit the losers. Gotcha. We'll get yours before long.
Oh, we're all good. Gotcha. Clear.
Way to fuck this up.
God damn it, Masler.
Someone had to do it.
All right. Gravity, what do you... You can't toot your own horn, so who do you got?
I could, but, you know, I'm in the presence of men. So, anyway... Yeah, I think definitely Hal impressed me with his draft. Obviously, he had the number one pick, and he got the best quarterback in Dane Hanani. But in addition to that, he also got the best tight end of the draft in the second round with Jabril Banks. And, you know, he's your classic, you know, receiving tight end, kind of in the mold of Antonio Gates. You know, he's got B-speed, B-excel, really great catching and route running and trucking and stiff arm and basically everything. So that'll be a nice duo to watch, and it was a really smart move getting a very good target for his rookie quarterback. And then to add to that offense again, he got Ramon Batista, who was a storyline player. And I was really surprised that Batista fell to the third round, because generally, you know, storyline players, regardless of if they're that good or not, go high just because of name recognition alone. But Batista's very good, can play multiple positions. If he doesn't pan out at wide receiver, he could probably go to safety or cornerback. So that'll be interesting to watch. Then another draft I thought was very good was Dakota's, and he had five players drafted that were over 70. And I know at least two of them are starting. Well, maybe not starting, but they're going to see play time. His seventh-round pick was a fullback that was a 74 overall and is getting the start. And then he also got a blocking tight end in the second round who was 77 overall. And I think that was a really good pick because, you know, the Packers in real life don't run the ball that much, but maybe Dakota might look to change that in the game. So I really liked his draft as well.
Broth, you want to give us what you got for your top draft? I know you kind of had some short notice to do your homework here, but
I guess to pat Gravity on the back because he didn't get the chance to do it himself. He had a pretty solid draft overall. I mean, there's a lot of guys who had decent picks in the first couple rounds, but he's got Fisher, who's an 86 overall cornerback. I mean, that's better than every other player I have in my draft, and he has a bunch of other guys who are over 70 overall. So that's not too bad. Hal, also, which I guess was mentioned before, despite drafting three quarterbacks, I think, like in a row, he still had a pretty, Dane Hanani's an absolute freak. And, just Jabril Banks, just across the board, he had a pretty solid all-around draft, despite, you know, not being there for some of it.
All right, so me going last, it kind of will piggyback off almost everyone. I agree, Gravity had a really good draft. Randy Millsaps is going to be just a freak of nature. But one that wasn't mentioned, I think Jesse, Paw Gamer, his top two picks were pretty solid. 84 overall, left tackle. That's going to let Russell Okung move to right tackle, I think. And then he got an 80 overall defensive tackle, which that defense doesn't need any more help, but there's just more firepower for him. So, flipping things around, I'll start us off for who I thought did not so hot and get the obvious one over with that we already talked about, Neurotic Truth, a 61 overall after moving Graham, not an ideal start, I think. That's it's a tough way to start a quote-unquote new era. Roth, who do you got as a loser?
I guess kind of my winner, one of my winners is also my losers. I think Hal could have had an unbelievable draft. I mean, just looking at his now, it's, I think he cut his fourth round, his fifth round, his sixth round, one of his seventh rounds. I mean, aside from the awesome talent he already had, he could have made it, I guess, even more. And then I think Nelly, was it, in his post, even referred to his draft as being pretty terrible. So I think just those are just two guys that I've noticed so far in my quick recaps of the drafts.
On the bright side, Brock, now he's in our division, so a bad draft for him bodes well for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And to defend Hal, too, I'm pretty sure that whole draft outside of the first one was CPU, I think. And even then, the CPU probably would have taken Hanani first, but never know. Gravity, who you got for a loser?
You, definitely. you were sitting pretty at the 13th pick, and you could have taken Mash Johnson. You did ask me for my opinion, and I selfishly told you that if you were not sure of Johnson's development, to not take him, because I was hoping that if you took Dylan, which you did, I could possibly get Mash Johnson and Millsaps, which would have been amazing, but that did not happen. But what did happen still was you had a terrible draft. Dylan is pretty good. Yeah, I'll admit that. And then you got a decent guard in the second round. But the rest of your draft, pretty much just special teams players. But, I mean, there's only so much you can do. If guys don't fall your way, there's really not much you can do. But you did get the guy that you wanted, or at least, maybe in the first round. I think
all right.
Johnson probably would have been better. But, so I didn't like your draft, and then I didn't think Boom's draft was all that hot. I did have Lee Gardena, the center, scouted, and I was surprised he dropped to 25. And that was a pretty good pick. But then the rest of his draft, he didn't have any other players over 70, and I think he could have done a lot better. But you're kind of limited with what you can do at the back end of each round. So, but I think you and Boom will be all right.
That brings us to Masler. What do you got?
I'm going to back up what Ross said. With Hal, he got the number one quarterback like we all anticipated. He got a pretty good tight end, but after that, his draft fell apart. I mean, CPU drafted, what was it, two more quarterbacks for him, and I don't know if he ended up cutting them or not, but it pretty much sounds like he did. And then the other one that we kind of talked a little bit earlier, New Orleans, they got a ton of picks, and I don't think I've seen or heard of one yet that is going to be a playmaker.
I think that's the key point is that, why are you drafting a free safety when your position and needs are quarterback and tight end? When you lost your two best, arguably the best tandem of that outside of Brady and Gronk in the NFL. So I think that Masler really hits home on that. It's like, even if that free safety had been like an 89 overall, it's like, okay, great, you've got a free safety, but now you still don't have a quarterback or a tight end.
So would New Orleans be your bust of the draft, I suppose, Ben? I know you probably want to rag on me, though, for Mash.
No, I'm not going to rag you on Mash. I'm actually going to return to a familiar target. I'm going to say Phil Style. I know it wasn't his fault, but, you don't have to be at fault to be a loser.
The computer did terrible.
Yeah, the computer did terrible. It drafted him a kicker and a punter. And, maybe the reason Phil doesn't value drafts as much as he does is because he's not around for them. And when he is around for them, he allows vastly superior GMs, who remain nameless, to jump ahead of him and get the key prospect that he so desperately covets. So,
such a bear, always live in the past.
Ah, of course, when the future sucks, live in the past. I live in the South now, so that's what our MO is down here. But I really think Phil, he's got to have a good draft at some point. Because we're going the full 8 seasons, and by then everybody will be gone. So... But yeah, he is my big loser. But Casper, yes, you do deserve to be mocked for letting arguably the best defensive tackle prospect in generations to go by you.
All jokes on you. Here's a defensive end. Merwin,
well,
what do you got?
You can put him at defensive tackle.
Oh, 3-4.
I'm going to pile it on NT.
Welcome.
I'm sorry. He got a bunch of picks. He obviously was unprepared. He went for a free safety who turned out to be a horrible pick in general, even for a free safety. He reached on a running back. His wide receiver that he got for his third pick I actually really like. That was probably his best pick. And everything else is just garbage. And the funniest thing, if you read his review of his draft, he says he gives himself a B-, but then he says, if you go by what I picked this year alone, then I'd probably give myself a C- or a D+. Yeah, that's about right. C- or D+, he's my loser.
Yeah, not a lot of talent. I'm looking at the list right now. Running back, 76 overall. Wide receiver, 77. After that, you only have two guys out of, what, seven or eight that are over 65 overall. I'd say that's the definition of a miss in the draft.
You better get that scouting perk.
I don't have it. Like I said, I wing it, Moon, and that was pretty evident in my draft, too. I did try to make a board, but it did not work out very well. Knowles, you're the last one we haven't heard from. What do you got?
I'll keep picking on NT. I mean, really, you can take either the number one free safety or the number one strong safety, and you still end up better than what he picked. Field style, also with the Bills. I mean, it's the draft. Bad draft, whatever. And I kind of hit on the Falcons. You know, you give up Roddy for two picks, second rounder and a fourth rounder, and kind of miss on both of them. I mean, his first, the B tackle will be a stud eventually if he isn't already. He's a 77 overall, it looks like. Then his second round is an 80 overall. And then it's 55, 65, 58, a kicker, then a 63 overall, then three cuts. So, I mean, I think Atlanta could have had a better draft than what he had. And that's practically my three losers.
You could add four cuts because I did see that kicker Tanner Squirk on the free agent list, just on the Xbox, not too long ago. But like you said, Knowles, having that second and fourth round that he probably traded for, either of them even being 60 overall, I mean, that's gotta hurt.
I'll even include myself on the losers. I hate it. I thought I had two good first two picks, then I had an inexpensive leave the draft and
it's kind of a trend in the draft. You kind of see on some of these reviews the guys giving their own drafts that they had. You know, a lot of guys hit in those first two picks, but after that, man, a lot of guys missed on the depth picks. A lot of not even 60 overall, 65 overall.
For as good as my draft was on paper, I would just like to point out I lost 45-17 week one to Barron. No big deal, but and then I had no sacks as well, and I, you know, Millsaps.
Yeah, it's not like you were going up against a rookie quarterback who was drafted in the third round. So
it was a completely justifiable loss. All right, my emotions are completely intact and 100% unshaken.
He was facing the TMFL Jesus in Barron, though.
Yeah,
I don't know if that applies to gravity, though. So,
but yeah, I mean, really, as a heathen. His he should not have been impressed with my ability as TMFL Jesus.
All right, that's probably where we'll take a quick time out before we hit our division picks. We'll be back in a minute. All right, welcome back, guys. We're gonna get into our division picks here. Get things going right away with the AFC West. Last year, Masler took it, and San Diego got themselves a wild card spot. Came down to the final game. Barron, who do you got taking that AFC West?
I really think it's probably going to be Masler again. I think he's finally hit his stride to where he's no longer a perennial laughingstock, so congrats to you, Masler. You're no longer a laughingstock. But yeah, I think it'll be him again. You know, they've got a lot of talent. I mean, I don't know what he's going to do as far as signing all of that talent, but I think this is another year that he can make a run.
Yeah, definitely can't deny the talent in Denver. Heading out AFC East, our best division in football. Let's go with another East guy. Moon, who do you got taking that AFC East?
Law Dog. I mean, the amount of XP that he gets. his pickup of the tight end, Jimmy Graham. I don't see anyone stopping him. I really don't.
Will there be wild card? Do you think they'll get two wild cards out of this division? They almost did last year.
They'll get at least one. I'm going to go no. I'm going to go they're going to get one wild card.
Two would be a stretch. Okay, AFC South, we had the Colts take it by one game over my Texans. We had a good run, but came up short. Gravity, give me your pick for the South.
I'm going to go with you. I think that your team's very young, so I think that a year of XP is really going to help you. You have one of the most exciting pass rushing teams in the league, even without J.J. Watt. You have Whitney Mercilus, you have Brooks Reed, who are both young, and Mercilus is really, really good.
I'm gonna go unconventional here, and I'm gonna take Broth. Hey-o. with his Titans
last night. Frank.
Yeah, they beat. I'm looking at the score right here, 48-28. Grav, you're already kind of behind the eight ball on that because Titans get a win over the Texans. Your pick. So I think if Broth can keep Locker, up tempo running the football, he'll be able to do well.
Dude, Knowles blew me out our first game, and then I came back around and smacked him up like a 50s housewife the second time. So,
shit
can change.
Throw four first half interceptions.
Yeah.
Three of which Broth would attest to were out of my control, and that's why Schaub's on the bench. Probably won't play another down.
Yeah, so we've already got turmoil in Houston, so I don't know if they're.
Moving on to the AFC North, we had Dan Thrax take it home last year. Sean Mason, no longer around. And we have the Rituation, some new blood in Cleveland.
Do we have to pick someone from that division?
Can
we just give like three wild cards to the AFC?
We could just let the AFC East take the AFC North's playoff spot. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, realistically, that's what should be done. But, I'll take Dan Thrax again. He's got a ton of talent on defense.
Yes.
I think he posted his defensive overalls, and he had 177, and everybody else was over 85. And he had 199 in Geno Atkins, obviously. So that's Dan's easily taken that division. I think no more needs to be said.
Really good.
I also think that last year Dan's play style was kind of uncharacteristic. He did throw the ball a lot. So I think he's going to kind of revert back to his old play style, and I agree with you, Baron.
Okay, we're going to switch over to the NFC West. I'm going to get Knowles' pick here. He had a chance to play Jesse and the Seahawks last night. Do you think they can dethrone the 49ers or at least get a wild card?
Well, that's the NFC West, so are we going to do the AFC West?
We already did.
We already did? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, Knowles, who do you got in the NFC West?
Of course, I'll take the Niners and Coug the repeat out of that division. It came down to the final week of the season last year, I believe, between the Seahawks and Rams. The Seahawks won and got into the wild card. I want to go Baron to take the wild card also. You're going to take two teams from that division, I think.
So, we'll go over to the NFC East now. Well, that was a really smooth transition there. Matzler.
You are smooth. You're a Dakota. He's Keith Stone. I'm going to start referring to Casper as Keith Stone.
That's all right. Pretty smooth. Matzler, who do you got taking that NFC East, the one screen in the whole division?
Well, the Eagles weren't very good last year. The Cowboys sounded like they took a lot of Sims last year. The Redskins weren't very good last year. I don't even know who won the division last year.
I think Pinch did.
It was Pinch.
Oh, yeah, Pinch did. But with Pinch having personal issues this year, who knows if he's going to make any games.
It's a yeast infection, Masler. Call it what it is. It's a yeast infection.
But I don't know who's going to take over the Giants, but at this point with the Giants kind of iffy on even if they're going to play this season, we might get a new member in quickly, but I think, they'll have that rude TMFL welcome. You know, it's not as easy as everyone makes it feel.
Right, right.
I think the Cowboys have a shot with running away with this this year, as much as I hate them. But I can't stand the Cowboys. They can go.
I can't stand Saw.
Sorry for swearing. But
Cowboys are the Notre Dame of the NFL.
Yeah, it's, right, you know, no. And if this, if Pinch stays and plays his games, great, then he's going to win the division. But if someone takes over for Pinch, it's the Cowboys.
Okay, so moving on to what a lot of people have called the worst division in TMFL, the NFC South. Bucks did have an impressive win to start the season. I can't remember off the top of my head who it was over.
It was over Saw. 38-35 over the Cowboys.
That's a good win. You know Fuzzy's going to bring the cheddar, and Atlanta might be able to get it righted. Moon, who do you got here?
Give me the Falcons.
Falcons.
I think the Falcons are coming back this year.
Oh, wow.
I honestly think Cole's going to come back with a vengeance. I played him for week one. I'm not obviously very good at the game at all, but he's solid. He's really solid, and he's got some talent. I think he's going to take the division.
All right, that leaves us with the NFC North. Roth, give us your pick for the NFC North.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of guessing in the dark here because the only one of these guys I've ever played against is Knight. But,
jeez.
So, yeah, it's not exactly, but I think
Adrian Peterson, jeez.
Yeah, so, I mean, Adrian Peterson's hard to go against, but, I mean, with Detroit having, Roddy White and Megatron side by side, that's a pretty tough combo to go against. So I'm going to have to say, I think Hova can do it with the Lions.
I think that NFC North might be the most underrated division in TMFL. You can say what you want about how they play with Knowles and Hova in that division, but
I can say a lot about how Graf plays.
Yeah, really, clearly very good against Barron.
His ass is sore.
Yeah, I made a Super Bowl, so.
Well, nobody's impressed, Gravity.
Continue, Casper.
I made two Super Bowls.
You want second place is the first loser, Graf.
That's first, your last.
That's I made the divisional round.
That's like being on prom court, all right? You're still cool.
That's going to kind of wrap things up, I think. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this first edition of the Hurry Up. We're going to try to do this probably once every 3-4 weeks, and hope you guys enjoy. Thanks.
Hope you have the patience to listen.
See you.